Some of you didn't even mean to go to church that Sunday. But God was working behind the scenes. I think about Lydia, that seller of purple. She was from Thyatira, but she ended up in Caesarea. That's about 400 or 500 miles from where she is born. And she's a woman in a man's world running a business and comes to Caesarea. But God has two missionary preachers, Paul and Silas. And he sends them from Antioch. And they come to Caesarea. They have to travel about 250 to 300 miles to get to Caesarea. And Paul really didn't want to go there. But the Holy Ghost got him there. And down by a river, Lydia hears the gospel and gets saved. Now, I believe, my faith is strong enough to believe God could have sent Paul and Silas straight to Thyatira and knocked on Lydia's door and preached the gospel to her and saved her. But he didn't do it like that. He brought her all the way to Caesarea, and he brought them all the way to Caesarea, and he made the connection. And she heard the gospel and got saved. Hallelujah. I'm glad that our Lord is in charge of all that. Let's all stand. Brother Tom, you come on around. He's going to end up our morning session this morning. Hadn't the Lord blessed us with some good preaching, and we're fixing to hear some more preaching that'll help our hearts. Amen. Jamie's going to get him hooked up. Just turn around to someone and tell them you're glad to see them here. Fellowship for a moment. Amen. It's good to be here. All right, we'll settle down here. You can find your place to sit. Our hearts have been blessed and helped each morning through Brother Tom's preaching. I want you to hear him gladly this morning as he brings God's message. Amen. I love you, brother.
You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel. I started to ask you to turn to the concordance. I feel like we've been through the Bible this morning, amen. But thank the Lord for what I've heard and what my heart has felt in these days. I'm glad for the day the dominoes fell in my world. I went to church. I hadn't been long out of jail. And judge told me if I joined the army, he'd clean my slate. So I did. And went to church that morning. Only reason I went to make my mama happy before I went in the army. I was sitting on the back row minding my own business. Matter of fact, they had started church. My daddy had helped start a church there in Chesapeake, Virginia, and they had some couches in the back, and I had sat down to take me a nap, and he's preaching on the woman at the well, and son, it lit it up in me. Amen. And somebody would have told me, having been so introverted all my life, that I was going to come down the aisle running before he got done preaching, I'm hollering, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved this morning. And they took me in the back couple of men, and they took me down to Romans Road, German Road, and the French Road. And I guess for about 45 minutes, they tried to get me to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm sorry, I ain't never prayed it. I couldn't quit crying long enough to pray it. I done cried until the front of my shirt was sopping wet. And so finally they prayed it themselves. And they let me go. I learned later, he turned the lights on me back there on the back row. I was more saved back there than I was before I got to the front. Something happened back there. The dominoes fell. He made a connection with my soul. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. We continue these pictures out of Mark's Gospel. He is a picture preacher. I seek and want to be a picture preacher. They say that a picture is worth a thousand words. I had a dear lady some time ago give me the greatest compliment I probably have ever had. She came to me after the service and she said, "You put color to my black and white pictures." And I'm glad of that. We have looked at these pictures of Mark. All of his pictures have got Jesus in the picture. And we looked at the lady with the issue of blood. And we saw in the picture that Jesus is our propitiation. And then he invited his disciples yesterday to come apart, gather around him, rest a little while. And we found that Jesus is our perseverance. I want to go this morning to Mark chapter 7, a little story that appears in verse 24 down through verse 30. This Syrophoenician lady. Amen. And I want us to see this morning in this picture that Jesus is our one that we go to in prayer. He is the one that we go to in prayer. This story of her is such a beautiful picture of prayer. I don't know. I meet a lot of Baptists know everything about prayer. The more I do it, the less I know about it. I notice as we begin to unpack this story, this Syrophoenician woman, I notice the seeking of this woman. There is a seeking position. It says in verse 24, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon." Verse 26, he says, "This woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nature." She is a Gentile.
Yes, she was.
She had no rights to Jesus. She didn't have any rights to say, "Dear Jesus." She had no rights to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." All of that was closed off to her. She is a Gentile. The word has the idea of the all-scouring of the earth. Take a frying pan and fry chicken in it. All of that you gob out of the frying pan, that's Gentile. Have no rights to Jesus at all. Matter of fact, Matthew said that Jesus said that he only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The law said to her, "Don't fool with Jesus. He's not for you." But Paul tells us in his writings that he broke down this wall of partition between us and him. Now he has said to us Gentiles, us all scouring of the earth. Not only does he tell us to come, he says come boldly before the throne of grace. And you can find help in time of need. If you want to get into the presence of God this morning, all you have to say is our Father or dear Jesus. And if you're in a hurry, you can just say Father or Jesus, and you're in the eternal world before the throne of God where it's all being run from. I'm talking about a seeking position. But I notice there is a seeking perception. What led her to come here? As the preacher has told us, as the dominoes fail, I notice in our text in verse 24, he's hid himself away in a house. He don't want to be bothered. But somewhere along the line, the Bible tells us in verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Here's three big words. Heard of him. I told you yesterday about the eight times he concluded a sermon with, he that hath ears, let him hear. I don't believe at all that she had heard with these ears. I believe she had heard with these ears. Faith has been quickened in her heart, and it has caused her to go to seeking after him. You won't seek after him until faith has been birthed in your heart. Faith has begun to work in your heart. Faith will push you towards him. Faith has begun to birth in her a desire to seek him. Faith will tell us that we've been made acceptable in the beloved. Faith will cause us to get low at his feet and look up high unto him. She's gone to seeking him. The Bible says when she found out where he was at, verse 25, she came with her chest bowed out and told him what she thought. It don't even say that in the Living Bible. She came, fell at his feet. Little phrase has the idea of putting the face down in the dirt, in the ground. And she begins to talk to him. See, prayer this morning, if there's anything I've learned about it, and I told you the more I do it, the less I know about it. But I do know this. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this maybe way over your head. It does starve pride. And it does feed humility. Because in order to do it, you got to get down low. Amen. You got to look up high. And it is in this text that she has birthed inside of her a desire to have an ongoing conversation with Jesus. You know, E.M. Bounds said that prayer is not something you do. It's something you are. I, from time to time, have preachers ask me, so, well, let's go pray. I don't ever say it. I want to. I want to say I am praying. Matter of fact, I'm praying right now. Me and Jesus have an ongoing conversation while I'm preaching. Are you listening to me? There should never be a time in your life, I don't care what you're doing, that you ain't talking to Jesus. You get up in the middle of the night, your feet hit the floor to go to the bathroom. The first thing you ought to do is begin to talk to him. I love the hell out of that, don't you? Faith will begin to birth that in your heart. I don't know a thing about this. All I'm telling you is what I've been told. All of you, for the most part, know that some time ago I was diagnosed with stage 3 carcinoma cancer. Of course, they got it. But I had an added gift with it. I have to go six months. They put me to sleep and do a cystoscope on me, see if the cancer's back. That is not a blessing. But one that I had a couple of times back, old doc He's been so good to me. He come out in the waiting room and told her, he said, I didn't find nothing. It's all clear again. And she asked him, she says, how's he doing? He said, well, I'll let you be the judge. He said, when I put him to sleep, he was praying. And when I woke him up, he's still praying. I got to thinking about that. You know, one day I'm going to be praying, fall asleep in Jesus, and wake up and say, whoop, there he is. We'll just continue the conversation. He's birthing in us. He's birthing in her. He should, if you're saved, he should be birthing in you an ongoing conversation. You do not have to get down on your knees and say, oh, great Father, that setteth them on the rims of the universe. No! You ought to be having an ongoing personal conversation with him. It will starve pride. It will feed humility. But I notice there's a seeking purpose. True, effectual prayer often wants nothing for yourself. Amen. She has come on the behalf of her daughter. She says in verse 26, she says that her daughter has a devil, and he has entered into her daughter. Effectual prayer this morning is often not prayer for ourselves. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in that day ye shall ask of me nothing. He says over in Chronicles, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked way, and seek my hand. No! That's what most of our prayer is. Give me something. Do something for me. Do something for me. If we want God to do real something this morning, quit asking him to do anything. Lord, I just want to see your face. If I see your face, it'll be enough for me. Are you listening to me this morning? See, that puts us in our place. Old Sarah Edwards that lost her husband, lost her son-in-law, lost her daughter. She lost a daughter when David Brainerd was staying at their house to tuberculosis. And she said it was the greatest thing she could offer God if she could just hear the prayers and the last words of David Brainerd. Her life verse was in Psalms 131. She said, my soul is as a weaned child. If you've got a baby and it's a nursing this morning, it's a constantly pulling on you. It wants something out of its mama, but once it has been weaned, it don't want nothing out of its mama. It just wants its mama. Prayer will drive you to the place. God, I don't want you to do nothing for me. I just won't you? Amen. There is a seeking purpose. But I notice a sacrifice from this woman. There's a sacrifice of a calling. In verse 27, Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it unto, he calls this gal a dog. I know you think, some of you think that's sweet. It ain't. And I know some of you dog lovers. I ain't. My wife's a dog lover. I'm not a dog lover. Oh, no. You can have all of my doggy sugar you want. I done watched them long enough. No. An old man come up to me some time ago. He said, I have you know that my dog's mouth is cleaner than your wife's mouth. I see no proof by me. No. The Bible, a dog is a dirty animal. It's an unclean animal. He called her a dog. It's not a compliment. Sacrifice of this woman. He cast her in the field of the unclean. There's a sacrifice of a calling. He calls her a dog. But I notice there is a sacrifice of contrition. Verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. She said, if you ever hit it on the mark in calling somebody a dog, you hit the mark. Amen. When you call this old gal nothing but a dog. I have nothing to come back to that statement. I remember years ago I made that statement up in Michigan, up near Detroit. Old Gail called a preacher that night. She was just bent out of shape. She said, I don't like that preacher calling me a dog. I love what the preacher told him. He said he didn't call you a dog. He said the Bible called you a dog. There is a difference. But she agrees with him. See, prayer lets you see how bad off you really are. I know some of you think you're pretty good. You can do all that stuff. You can give up movies. You can give up smoking. You can cut your hair. You can do all that. You can wear your dresses until you fall and all over them. It will not change the fact that inside you is wicked as the devil. And here, prayer, she has realized who she is. Amen. She's just a dog. And she agrees with him. Matter of fact, she calls him Lord. But I notice not only is there a sacrifice of a calling and a sacrifice of contrition, but there's a sacrifice of crumbs. She says in verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord. She said, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. She said, Lord, she said, if you get a few minutes, she said, I'm going to stay up here underneath the table. I ain't nothing but a dog anyhow. She said, if every now and then you just brush me a few crumbs off. She said, the crumbs from your table is better than anything I got right now. See, prayer this morning, you come into his presence. Oh, God, I don't want a bunch. I just want you. If every now and then you just brush me a few crumbs so I'll know that you're there. My youngest boy, they just got a dog, and they made a beggar out of him. They started feeding him from a table, and I don't know why he's been attracted to me, because I ain't attracted to him. But he'll come while you're eating and put his paw on your leg and just sit there and look at you. I told him the other day, I said, Stetson, there's one mark about fat people. They don't never drop nothing on the floor. So you can put your paw on my knee all you want to. I ain't dropping nothing. But our Lord ain't like that. You can put your paw on him every now and then, and he might brush the whole table over on you. I love that, don't you? I notice last of all the satisfying for this woman. There is a satisfied saying. Verse 29. And he said unto her, 7:29. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Satisfying statement. So on the way to back to the house, she has to believe that it's already happened back over here where Jesus was hiding out. So all the way to the house, she's got to call the things that seemingly were not back there, and she's got to act like as though they were on the way to the house. That's what prayer will drive you to. Prayer will drive you to be able to call the things that are not as though they were. Amen. It's only been one or two times in my life that God assured me of things, and then he stretched it out and tested it. I remember when I first went into evangelism, her and I, she had quit teaching, and she used to say that she had retired. I told her she ought not to say that, because if you're retired, that means you're getting a check, and she wasn't getting no check. But we kept living like she was getting a check, and we had gotten pretty good debt when I first went in evangelism, and we needed $3,000 real bad, stranglehold around her neck. They were calling, saying they were going to come get things and stuff like that. I know you ain't never had no calls like that. But we were in a Shoney's Inn in Jonesboro, Georgia. And her and I was down praying one morning. And God assured us, both of us, to get up off our knees and believe that he had already taken care of that $3,000. And so we did. I don't know if you've ever tried to act like you got $3,000 and you ain't got nothing. It can get dangerous. And so we did. We begin to believe. We begin to act like we already got it. You won't believe what happened. Nothing. It got worse. The more we believed, the worse it got. But he had assured us there on our knees. He said, I want you to act like you already got it. I want you to call the things that are not as though they were. I remember a preacher going over to Chesty, South Carolina. Bill Metters, you remember old Bill? He's dead now. All them Metter boys are gone now. And I was preaching for Bill, and he had me there for Sunday through Wednesday. And I remember stepping in the pulpit that morning, and I looked out on the crowd, and as my youngest son said, the whole building was full of white caps. What? White caps. They all had gray head. Every one of them had written across their chest, it looked like to me, fixed income. You ain't getting much money here. You're going to go away from here broker than you come. Elderly couple come up to me on Monday night. She had a sack dress on. He had overalls on. I shook his hand. He palmed something in my hand. I stuck it in my pocket. The only thing I figured is that he didn't want her to know what he was doing. I shook her hand. She palmed something in my hand. The only thing I could figure is that she didn't want him knowing what, because we the only three standing down what that palm stuff was about. I stuck it in my pocket. I got back to the room, and both of them had palmed two $100 bills in my hand. And I know that would excite you, and most of the time it would excite me. But if you need $3,000 and you $2,800 short, it's still a long ways to get to where you need to be. But I did remember the words of old Hanley Milby. When God sent him $60 from the IRS, he told his wife we're going shopping. While he's shaving, God told him to go down there to the bottom of the hill and give it to the African-American lady that lived down there that took in washing. And he went down there and handed it to her, went to the bottom of the hill, turned around, come back up. She was out in the front yard throwing them three $20 bills up into the air. I said, whoa, thank you, Jesus. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Old Hanley Milby said, God whispered to him and said, if you'd have acted like that, when I give it to you, I'll let you cap it. So I'm over there in the motel room. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Because I didn't want to give it to nobody. Least it was a start. You remember, done told me he'd take care of it. I closed out with Bill Meadows on Wednesday night. Bill Meadows took that honorarium check and folded it up until it was the size of a cigarette. And he handed it to me, and he held on to it, and he made this statement. He says, here's a little something to help you on your way. And you know, sometimes when a preacher tells you that, he's telling you the truth. I got in the car. Beth and I unfolded it. What you reckon it was for? $2,800. 28 plus 2 make 3. God confirmed. Are you listening to me? That's what prayer's about this morning. God confirming it. There is a satisfied saying. I notice there's a satisfied statement in this story in Matthew 15. He told her, he says, great is thy faith. Even as thou wilt. He told her, he said, you can have it your way. He says, I'm going to write you a blank check from heaven. He said, you fill it in and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Oh, I tell you, prayer will take you to that place often. God will say, if you'll make my will your will, I'll let you have your way. Are you listening to me? If all you want, well, I bless God, I'm going to have my way, I'm going to have my will, you ain't getting jack. But when you make your will his will, he'll let you have your way. And I notice there's a satisfied solution. Verse 29, she says that when she got back, verse 30, and when she was come to her home and to her house, the doctor said he believed that the daughter would be better in several weeks. No! The devil was gone out of her, just like he said. You know, E.M. Bounds said that prayers of God's people will live on and may be answered long after you're dead. I know that you may not agree with this, but I found it to be so true. Prayer often doesn't change anything. Matter of fact, my wife and I got some things that we've been praying for near about a year now. We usually pray for them every time we ask the blessing. And I'll be honest with you, they're getting worse. Prayer often doesn't change anything, but it will always change you. I'm almost certain that God instituted prayer not to change our circumstances to better circumstances, but he wants to change you. Prayer is not about twisting God's arm to get him to do what you want him to do. John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to my will, no, his will. He hears us. We know that we have the petitions whereof we have asked. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we make the words of these songs our prayer life. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Every moment, moment by moment, I'm kept in thy love. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burden alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. You know, out of the 40 or 50 churches I go to every year, many times I go and I feel like that they preach too much. Wears me out. I've been some places where I thought they sung too much. I've been some places where I thought they took too many offerings. But in 31 years of traveling the road as an evangelist, I've never been in a church and I've left there and I said, man, they pray too much there. Every time you turn around, they want you to get around the altar and pray. Never been to that church. You listening to me? I believe the three greatest words that could ever be said down at the Baptist church are these three words. Let us pray. Preacher.